Well, good evening. The message I'm about to preach tonight is probably something you'd probably hear from an older person, so I'll try and do my best. And the reason I say that is because this is something probably a little bit more of life experience, which, as you know, probably don't have a lot of. But tonight I'm going to be preaching on dealing with things when we are rocked to the core, things that shake us. And we feel as if we question whether or not we still believe or whether we trust exactly what we've been told or what we knew to be true. Sometimes these events leave us in despair. They shake us. But friends, I want to remind you, in Psalm 119 and verse 114, God is our shield. And His word is our hope. Amen. In difficult situations, a person may survive without food for 3 days. They might survive without water for 1 day. You can even survive 8 minutes without air. But it's very hard to survive without hope in seconds. So tonight, as we look how God responds to us when things don't make sense, when we feel like Job and ask God, why this? Why me? How God responds to us and gives us hope. So let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 1 to 3. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. So this story is obviously talking about when Lazarus, who was fallen sick, and then he ended up passing away. And this would be a very harrowing thing for his family. And I'm sure if we were to face different circumstances like this, it would also, in a sense, shake us to the core. So let's read from John chapter 11, verses 1-3. Now a certain man was sick, called Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Let's just commit this to the Lord and see what he is able to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask, dear Lord, for your wisdom and guidance. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and that your word would be our strength and it would also be our comfort in times when we are troubled. So we just commit these things to you now. Amen. First thing I want to look at as our first point is life is full of events that will shake us. There are many things, if you haven't had something that has make you question your beliefs, I'm sure it's coming. If you talk to someone that is on the pension, they probably can tell you. There's many things in life that you will face that will shock you. And sometimes I probably say I'm not surprised when they watch the news. Not all these different events may shake us and might not cause us to ask, why me? But there are times in our lives where we don't understand what is going on. Now in verse 3, it says, whom thou lovest is sick. Now, when we look at that word sick, this is referring to Lazarus was weak. Now, this wasn't a weakness that he had gotten the flu or he had a cold and he was struggling to get over some type of sickness. No, this is something that probably could have been a disease or something that he's caught and sort of obviously alarmed both his sisters to call Jesus. They had seen that Jesus and heard many of the stories of him healing many people that were unwell. And in this time of history, we might even ask the question, well, sort of the man was more of the provider. This could have been more of their income. It could have been a little bit more than someone that is unwell. And that in itself is a very hard thing sometimes to face. But there could have been a lot of pressure and they didn't quite understand what was going on. When you hear of maybe a family member or a friend that has been diagnosed with cancer, that can sometimes be something that might shake you to the core. It could be something like your job. You've been there for many years, you've had that security, and then all of a sudden things happen very quickly. And this leads you to the question, why? I'm sure Mary and Martha were thinking in their heads in verse 6 where it says he abode for 2 days. They're probably thinking, when is the Lord coming? Why isn't he here yet? Those 2 days could have been maybe the hardest 2 days that they had, knowing that they had sent the news. Did Jesus receive the news? Do they know that Lazarus is sick? Does Jesus still care about us? Jesus was their friend. He often went to their houses and stopped by their place to eat. Imagine Mary, times that I've listened to him, where is he now? Martha, how much have I sacrificed for Jesus? It's not exactly the same as the widow that gave her last portion of food to Elijah, who was stressed, but there was an element of insecurity and just questioning God. And sometimes in our lives when we have things that hit us for six, we start to question God and ask why. You don't know anything about the situation. You seem to lose hope and then you start asking why. There was a surfer told me a story. He was sort of a little bit older and he said, I'm not exactly able to surf like I used to, and sometimes when I go out with my friends, we sort of go and we don't catch as many waves as like we used to, and sometimes we get washed up in the white water a lot more. And I'm not a surfer myself. My uncle did a lot of it. But surfing can also be very dangerous because if you come under off your board and you've got the wave that's come on top of you, when you're under that white water, you've got absolutely no idea what's down, what's up. And sometimes surfers have died because they've tried to go up, but they were actually going down. But the secret, if you do go surfing, he told me, is you pull on the cord because your board is buoyant and it's always going to go to the surface. Our emotions in uncertain times can be like the white water. They completely cloud our vision. We don't exactly know what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right. But the Word of God is like that cord. If we tug on that cord, that will give us direction to help us survive like a surfer. Sometimes our faith and our feelings seem to move along steadily. But other times when our direction is lost, we sometimes don't realize where we're going or where to go. But we've got to remember our faith is like the engine and our feelings is the caboose. And the caboose goes all over the place, but the engine is what drives us forward. If we keep our faith in God, it will give us the direction that we need. God gives us his promises. He hasn't always promised to give us an explanation. When we feel lost, we don't know what to do. It doesn't always make sense. That's why we constantly ask the question, why? We need to pull on the cord, and I will turn to Psalm 119, and you can turn there with me, just so that we have a look at this scripture as a bit of assurance. Psalm chapter 119, verse 114. And this was a comfort to the psalmist David. In Psalm 119 and verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word." As we can see here, the word is our hope. That is what helps us continue on. The second point I want to look at is that God loves us. When we are struggling to know what is right, what is wrong, where to be, where to go, we sometimes doubt those fundamental things that God loves us. In verse 5 of John chapter 11, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Now, we can see in John chapter 11 and verse 3 that the sisters sent Jesus and says, "Thou lovest is sick." Now that love was a friendly love, a brotherly love, phileo. You may have understood that in the Greek. But the word went, "Now Jesus loved Martha," is not a brotherly love. It's much more than that. The love is a Christ-like love, an agape love. Sometimes when we think that God loves us, we'll be surprised that he loves us more than what we think. We think he might just love us as a friend. Well, God, in this example, loved Mary and Martha, though in despair, much more than what they realized. They may have been asking the question, "Do you really love us?" But he did. He loved them much more. And when we are confused, it's important that we tell it to Jesus. In 2 Kings, in chapter 18, verses 29 to 35, I'm not going to read that passage, but I am reminded of Hezekiah, who had a very harrowing situation where he had the threats of the Assyrian king that told Judah that he was going to destroy them. "We've taken Samaria. We're going to come after you. Don't worry about your God. He's not going to be able to save you. The gods of Syria, or Assyria, are going to destroy you." If you were king, you would be very worried. You'd be thinking, this is a very strong army. I know we've heard the stories of the Egyptian army, which once was the strongest army, and God delivered us and we were able to cross the Red Sea. But at the moment, the Assyrian army is one of the strongest armies in the world. But what did Hezekiah do? In 2 Kings, in verse 19 and verse 1, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord." He took it to the Lord. He didn't try and trust upon his own knowledge, his own wisdom. He took it to the Lord. He trusted in what the Lord will do. As mentioned before, just because there's a delay doesn't mean that God is denying. He's not in denial. He's not putting that on the shelf and it's forgotten and maybe I'll get there in time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, when in chapter 3 it talks about in his time, there are times for different things, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, we are reminded that it is in his time he makes all things beautiful. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And although I'm sure Mary and Martha were thinking, this is the time. He's very sick. He's going to die. It wasn't the time. And it's very easy as Christians. We think, don't you understand? If it doesn't happen now, is it going to happen? I certainly felt a little bit like that when I was trying to graduate from university, and I was coming to the end, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, why are you making this so hard? I'm almost about to get married. I've put in the hard yards to try and study, to try and pass everything. And then it seems like I've just been failed, and it was very hard. I mean, it wasn't as hard as quite a number of other things that people would face. But even some of the small everyday things, whether we're in traffic or we think we're going to be late, our timing isn't always aligned with God's timing. And that's why we need to look to the Lord and to bring it before Him. Going back to John chapter 11 and verse 20, we see the response that Martha has. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Martha heard that the Lord was there. She went straight towards him. She was looking to her Lord for hope. In verse 21, her response is, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha knew who was God. She had not changed her perspective. She called him Lord. She didn't seek to blackmail him and say, how dare you? We've done all this for you, and look the way you have treated us. In fact, as we read through different parts of the scripture, in verse 22, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. She had trust in the Lord. She knew that God was in control. She wasn't sure. She was struggling, but she still knew that God had the power. I don't expect to see my brother now. I'll probably see him when he dies. And then also in verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She knew that he was God. She knew that he had the power. She wasn't exactly sure what was going to take place. When Jesus was suffering upon the cross, his first cry was, my God, my God. And many of the times we think about, why hast thou forsaken me? The emphasis is not necessarily upon you've left me. It's realizing that God is still our God. We've still given him the right position. We are still trusting in him. We haven't completely lost hope. Something that will help us when we're in a time of despair or we're struggling and asking God to help us. The third thing we can look at is we must praise God in order to move past the asking questions of why. In Job chapter 1, in verse 21, we know the story of Job, how he had lost a lot of things. Happened very quickly. And something like that to happen very quickly, where you pretty much lose all your wealth, all your children, probably in the space of a day, would really shake you. But the response that Job had was to praise the Lord. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21 it says, "And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you want to dwell on the why questions, you can read Job chapter 2 all the way to 37, and you'll realize it's not going to get you anywhere. There's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of reasoning, but it was just going around in circles. And neither Job nor any of his friends had any idea what the reason was at the end of it. 36 chapters of just talking. And that's what's going to happen if you constantly go over and over and over and ask why. You're just going to keep going around. If you want to move past asking the answer why, it's good that you praise the Lord. Because in praising the Lord, you're redirecting your thoughts. Sometimes you can come here on Sunday and you come to church and you just go home and you feel like, oh, I've got a bit of hope, you know, we've been praising the Lord. But you might have just been piggybacking off of some other people. They were praising the Lord, and then you get past most of the day and you're pretty much feeling exactly the same way as what you were before. It's because you weren't exactly praising the Lord out of your heart. You were just enjoying the praise of the Lord through everyone else. And it was such a great atmosphere. If you truly want to change your perspective and trust in the Lord and have His direction, you've got to praise the Lord yourself. And when you're struggling at a time, that's not when you want to praise the Lord. Why would I want to praise the Lord? Can't you see? I'm struggling here. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18, Habakkuk was struggling with knowing about the judgment, and he really didn't understand why God was doing what he was doing. But what helped Habakkuk was in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The only way he was able to change his mind through all these things talking about the wickedness, and he was just really struggling. "God, I don't understand why. This makes no sense. Why aren't you doing this? Why are you not listening?" He was able to rejoice in the Lord, and that's what was able to help him to change his direction. The next thing I want us to look at is Jesus weeps with us in our pain. We looked at Martha, how she went to the Lord and she trusted him as her God. Mary wasn't exactly the same. She responded very differently. In John chapter 11, Mary was very different in her response. We read in John chapter 11 and verse 31, "The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Some people will respond very differently. Some people don't want to confront what's taken place. It's too much. I can't handle it. But what did Jesus do? Did he just stand there? No, in verse 33, we read, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He's obviously followed her. He's gone to the grave. He understands that she's upset. It says here that he groaned and was troubled. Now the word troubled there can also be understood as disturbed, stirred, terrified is another way that it has been interpreted. He was deeply moved at what had taken place. Amen. Jesus understood her pain. If we turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 to 4, we can see that the Bible also has a promise for us in talking about in the struggles that we have, just to re-emphasize that Jesus cares about us in our pain. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 to 4 it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." God, in our troubles, as we see through Isaiah, carried our sorrows with him. And he did the exact same with Mary. And the reason we know that is the shortest verse in the English language is Jesus wept. He didn't try to give her a lecture. He didn't try and do this and tell her the reason why. He just stopped. He felt the pain that she was going through. He had the pain himself. And he just wept. Jesus understands the pain you're going through. He has the same pain as well. I think of the hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" It starts with the words, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained?" And it ends with, "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Saviour cares." Amen. I think hymn writer could understand that very point, that Jesus cares. Jesus knows the pain that we're struggling through. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to give us any direction, and we're still hurting. Mary was still hurting. Martha was still hurting. Their brother is still in the grave. It hasn't changed yet. The last thing I want to emphasize is God can be glorified through our suffering. There are two ways that this can take place, and this is the hard truth. It can either be removed, or God can be glorified through our suffering as we endure through it. We are not guaranteed that our suffering will finish. If we read through this passage and we look at verse 43, in John chapter 11 and verse 43, and this is Jesus that has come to the grave, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice," Jesus speaking, "Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." The unthinkable has happened, and miraculously, Lazarus has come forth. Mary and Martha would have been thrilled. I think the only person who would have not been thrilled is probably Lazarus. He was having a great time. He was in heaven. He's just having the time of his life, and now he has to come back to earth and go through all the troubles and the strife again. And he's thinking, "Lord, why'd you bring me back?" I was having a great time. I was enjoying those 4 days in heaven. But in a sense, the suffering seemed to be over for Mary and Martha. But that isn't always the case. Paul the Apostle went through some hardship, and he sought the Lord 3 times. And it wasn't resolved. He still suffered. But he wrote here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 to 4, "Not only so that we that glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Paul was saying, and we use this as an example because Paul went through the struggle himself. If you want to see where he mentions about struggling and asking the Lord for three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, he sought the Lord and it didn't happen. But he said that through enduring, that was able to, over time, give him that hope. We may have things relieved, but we may not. We may have that enduring that will give us the hope. God develops our hope through strengthening us. As I mentioned before of Habakkuk that praised the Lord and that helped him change his direction, in Habakkuk, he also realized in Habakkuk chapter 3, you can turn there if you like, Habakkuk chapter 3, and verse 19, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." In Habakkuk's situation, like Paul, his problem wasn't removed. The high places are still there. The troubling times are still there. But he says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he'll make my feet like hinds' feet." Now, this would be like a mountain goat. Give me the strength to navigate through the different problems. Doesn't mean I'm going to be trusting in my own direction. God will strengthen me over time. But in order to do that, you've got to change your direction and then also trust in the Lord. So as we look at how that Christ responds to us in troubling times, we see that we need to pull on the cord. The Word of God is our guide. We need to remember that God loves us. We need to start praising God instead of dwelling on the why. We need to remember that God feels our pain. And we also need to remember, lastly, God can be glorified through the removal or the enduring of our pain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just commit this time to you. We know there are struggles and time of pain that we will go through. And Lord, may we be able to hold on to these truths that you have given us and help us with these times of pain. And so, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us and continually guide us through each step that we take. So we commit these things to you now. Amen.